Welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, and I hope you will learn more about arthritis from my two guests today. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest is Dr. Garrett Smith, a naturopathic physician from Tucson, Arizona. Garrett uses a holistic approach in practice and includes teaching about nutrition, using supplements, exercise, and meditation, as well as using a form of energy medicine known as body talk, low-intensity laser therapy, laser acupuncture, laboratory analysis, nutritional injection therapy, and supplementation in his practice. In his work with arthritis patients specifically, he often uses low-intensity laser therapy or cold therapy and a no-nightshade diet. He will talk about the effects of nightshades on arthritis. More information is available at www.drasteacher.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Garrett, and I look forward to hearing more about how you advocate to your clients about certain things they should avoid when they have arthritis. So I understand that one of the things that you talk with clients about is nightshades. Where did you first hear about this?
I first heard about nightshades when I was in medical school, in naturopathic medical school. One of my professors of nutrition, we were talking about arthritis one day in class, and about all the description I got of the nightshades was, my teacher said, these are the nightshade plants, and she listed them off, tomatoes, potatoes, peppers, and eggplant. And some people with arthritis are sensitive to them, so they should avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about all I heard about it at that point. It wasn't something I took real seriously. And then later, I went to a specific seminar. It was put on by a physical therapist on his technique for relieving pain.
Mm-hmm.
So at this seminar, I never thought as a naturopathic physician I'd be getting nutrition advice from a physical therapist, but it happened.
Right.
And he said, if you have a patient or a client who's sensitive to the nightshade, there is nothing that anyone, you or anyone else, can do short of getting them to avoid those foods that will help relieve their pain for any significant amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where I became very interested, because these foods have permeated our American diet in so many ways. People think they're very traditional foods, and they're actually not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They actually only really came into, you know, kind of the Americas, the American and the European food rotations in about the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't been a part of our diet for a long time, and since people don't see much past, you know, their grandparents, they tend to think that these foods have been in our diet forever, and they really haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to find out if people are sensitive to them is really to do avoidance of them for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how I heard about them, and then I started researching them a lot more after that.
Mm-hmm. And would you repeat then the foods that are in the nightshades group?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's more than I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's tomatoes. Now, that doesn't matter. Any color, any heirloom, you know, Roma,
mm-hmm.
beefsteak, any of those. An interesting fact about tomatoes is all tomatoes used to be about the size of grapes. It's only through our engineering of them, our human intervention in the growing of tomatoes, that we've made them into the big monsters that they are today.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tomatoes, then there's potatoes. Now, this does not include sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So any kind of potato, though, that anything that has the word potato in it that is not a sweet potato is in the nightshade family, whether it's white, purple, red, you know, Yukon gold, any of that. Eggplant, that's always the one that most of my patients say, oh, that's fine, I don't care about eggplant.
Mm-hmm.
Some people really love eggplant, but most people, that's the easy one to avoid because they don't really eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And then peppers. Now, this is the tougher one. This includes bell peppers of any color, jalapenos, habaneros, chili peppers, paprika, cayenne pepper, basically anything that is spicy, that's not in kind of the alternative spices, like, you know, horseradish is not, Mustard powder is not. Ginger is not. Those are some spicy things that aren't peppers. But the pepper group is a big one, and paprika is the sneaky one. And then there's goji berries, the new wonder antioxidant on the block. If people look at goji berries growing, they look kind of like a tomato that was melting in a way. It's kind of like pulling long due to gravity. It looks like a very, very tiny tomato that's kind of melting. And then ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is an herb used a lot in Ayurvedic medicine. And people who are sensitive to the nightshades definitely start to notice that because most of the herbal tinctures are very concentrated. So you get a big dose of that in a little amount. And a specific type of gooseberry, the Cape gooseberry. I started my first experience with those was at Trader Joe's. They were selling dried Cape gooseberries. And I learned later that some days I usually would have those, and I'd eat them at work. This was before I knew that they were a nightshade, and I'd always wonder why my back started to hurt so bad that day. And finally, I was looking around on the internet. I don't know how I came across it, but I came across Cape gooseberries and goji berries at the same time. So, and ashwagandha I actually learned about it at one of my naturopathic conventions. When I brought up the nightshades, and another naturopathic doctor stood up and said, do you know ashwagandha's in the nightshade family? I said, no, but that's great because that explains to me why I never got along with that herb. So anyway, those are the nightshades.
And have you had other personal experiences besides the back pain?
Well, for me, actually, I'm still trying to figure out. I haven't recorded it thoroughly with myself, but I kind of have some mild neck pain and some mild back pain that's been around forever. And those two things, I actually believe that the different nightshades affect the areas differently. So I've never really sat down and tried to iron it out. I just know that eating those foods really affects my life in a negative way. So it's much easier to avoid them, which you can imagine is difficult living in the Southwest.
Right.
The land of salsa, tomatoes and peppers, all that. So, but my main personal experience was when I started just suggesting to other people that they start avoiding them and see how they feel. And that when I started getting the feedback from the people who would actually take me seriously and do it, the feedback was incredible.
Oh, really?
Yeah, even in, I mean, I have a group of guys that I do weight training with. And these are guys, you know, in their late 20s, early 30s, not the typical arthritis, you know, crowd. And they've started to notice that when they avoid them, the big time that people notice what they do is when they avoid them for a while and then they reintroduce them. And that's when it really kind of smacks them in the face. And they started to notice that their injuries from weightlifting or when they feel bad from weightlifting is almost directly related to when they eat those foods. So, but I also do treat a lot of, you know, elderly folks with arthritis and things of that nature, and they definitely notice it.
And what are the mechanisms that you have discovered about nightshades that may cause or worsen osteoarthritis and other common chronic illnesses?
There's several of them. One of the biggest things, the biggest, this one is not a mechanism. This one's just observance in, I've got a bunch of studies on a bunch of different animal species where they've given them different types of nightshades. There's other ones other than the ones that we've gone over. The Solanaceae genera and species of plants, which is the nightshade kind of family, is huge. I mean, it is unbelievably big. And basically, the gist of what I'm getting at is in every animal that's been tested with any type of nightshade, they have all developed what is called calcinosis. So just in every animal that's been tested, think of calcinosis as arthritis in animals. Every animal that's been tested with any nightshade has always developed this calcinosis or arthritis. That should be proof enough.
Right.
So people tend to take certain animal studies very seriously, but they haven't wanted to take these very seriously. So what the theory is on what's happening with that calcinosis mechanism is that there's compounds in the nightshades that are similar to vitamin D, but they're not the same. So they don't substitute as vitamin D. And what they do is they, instead of doing what vitamin D does, is they screw up the calcium-phosphorus balance. So then we get calcium deposits in soft tissue. And when someone reads the description of what calcinosis is, and they compare it to the process that happens in the human body with things like osteoarthritis,
mm-hmm.
is they start to see that osteoarthritis is simply calcinosis. It's arose by a different name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the biggest things I found out. So another mechanism, this was only with peppers, is capsaicin. And everyone's been told about how wonderful capsaicin is. You know, it's so healthy and all of this. I have a different opinion of it. The start of my opinion is that nature gave us a very good sign not to eat capsaicin because it actually causes us pain in our mouth,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Typically, things that cause us pain, it's a sign to avoid it.
Right.
And for some reason, that logic has slipped past everyone on capsaicin. The mechanism, what I found, and this is a little bit of a long explanation, but capsaicin releases a neurotransmitter called substance P in the nerves.
Mm-hmm.
Substance P, the P stands for pain. So that's one reason why you get pain in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the substance P is released. And when people eat lots and lots of capsaicin, they basically deplete the substance P in their body.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know that it depletes substance P and this can cause issues? When we look at diabetics who use capsaicin cream.
Mm-hmm.
Diabetics use capsaicin cream on their neuropathy because what capsaicin does is it depletes the substance P, and so the pain signal doesn't get sent back up to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why does this cause a problem? Because the body, the brain, needs substance P to tell it that something's hurt,
mm-hmm.
so that the brain goes and does what it needs to do to fix the area. So what capsaicin, taking it orally and using it systemically and depleting substance P throughout the whole body, is the whole body doesn't heal as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the quick explanation. There was also the study of capsaicin in rats with type 1 diabetes. And everyone's misinterpreted this study. Researchers gave the rats injections of substance P. And what they saw was they saw that these rats who they'd given type 1 diabetes, which means they need insulin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened was their insulin needs disappeared for a month. Basically, their type 1 diabetes went away for a month after this IV injection of substance P. Now, the misinterpretation that everybody did was everybody read the study and they said, oh, wow, capsaicin releases substance P. So therefore, capsaicin may be the next cure for type 1 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the misinterpretation of that is constantly taking in capsaicin causes a massive depletion of substance P in the body,
mm-hmm.
which means that blood sugars in a diabetic are going to get even worse.
Mm-hmm.
I just recently had a patient who was diabetic, her blood sugars were down. We've got her at a pre-diabetic state right now, into the 110s
mm-hmm.
with her blood sugar. She came in the other day, and all of a sudden one day, you know, her morning blood sugar was 150.
Mm-hmm.
And just out of curiosity, I said, did you eat anything like spicy peppers yesterday? Anything like that? Anything out of the ordinary? And she started thinking about it, and she kind of smacked her hand on her forehead, and she said, yes, we had like Mexican food.
Oh.
And so this is a really interesting thing about the blood sugar and mm-hmm. capsaicin.
Right.
So let's
right.
see, we've done the vitamin D, we've done the capsaicin. Oh, the next one, nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
All of these foods contain nicotine.
Hmm.
Most people are doing their best to avoid smoking, avoiding
right,
secondhand
right.
smoke, doing all this. Nicotine is in all these vegetables. This was a big thing in the macrobiotic community.
Mm-hmm.
Their main reason for getting people to avoid the nightshades is the nicotine. And they say, you don't smoke, so why are you eating nicotine?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been said that if the nightshade plants were to come onto the market today, if they were a new food on the market, and they weren't grandfathered in like they are now, simply based on the nicotine levels of these plants alone, they wouldn't be allowed on the market.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so what's the problem with nicotine in food? The main problem with nicotine is all the studies on nicotine, when they injure an animal, you know,
mm-hmm.
they don't tend to do that to humans. They'll just injure the animal,
mm-hmm.
like the rats and the mice.
Mm-hmm.
They give them an injury, and then they give them, let's say, an IV or a peritoneal injection of straight nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
their wound healing is significantly delayed, and sometimes the wounds, the wounds never heal right at all.
Oh.
And that's where I've kind of thrown some more studies on top of it, which show that like a rotator cuff.
Mm-hmm.
Once a rotator cuff is damaged, if it doesn't heal in the right time frame, it's never quite right again. So let's say I've got a young baseball player who loves to eat, you know, Mexican food, hot sauce and everything, you know, tons of tomatoes and potatoes, and they injure their shoulder, and then their rotator cuff doesn't heal because of all the nicotine input, then they end up with a damaged rotator cuff. They may never be an athlete, you know, at any higher levels again.
Yeah.
Or actually, I mean, I have quite a few older patients who injure their rotator cuff. Mainly, I think a lot of people injure their rotator cuff just because they're too weak.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are not doing any kind of strength training or the proper strength training to keep their shoulders healthy and strong.
Right.
So they injure their rotator cuff, and then some of them might be smoking, or they're eating these foods, and then they don't ever heal right.
Oh.
So the nicotine and the capsaicin are mainly, they injure the healing process of the body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're always healing ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Constantly. And if we do things to interrupt that process or slow down that process, then we cause problems for ourselves in the future.
Mm-hmm.
The next mechanism, let's see, I'm thinking, oh, solanine. Solanine and chaconine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, alpha-solanine and chaconine, these are what are called glycoalkaloids.
Mm-hmm.
And they're compounds in the nightshades found most heavily in potatoes and eggplant. Okay, what these compounds do, the fancy name for what they do is they are acetylcholinesterase inhibitors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, in effect, what these compounds are doing is they're the things that make people stiff in the morning, when they wake up real stiff in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for this is because the muscles are tenser than they need to be. See, there's no reason for the joints to get stiff. Why people feel stiff is that their muscles aren't moving as well as they should.
Mm-hmm.
So let me explain what an acetylcholinesterase inhibitor is, what it does.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have a muscle contraction, what the nerves do is they release acetylcholine into the neuromuscular junction, the space between nerves or the space between a nerve and a muscle. So acetylcholine is what sends the signal to do something along a nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens when we want the muscle to relax, or the normal process of muscle relaxation along the nerve, is that the acetylcholinesterase, an ACE, is an enzyme. You know, like you hear about lipase and protease and this stuff. These are enzymes. So acetylcholinesterase degrades the acetylcholine. So it breaks it down so that the signal stops going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's what makes the muscle, the signal to the muscle to contract go away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we take an inhibitor of the enzyme that breaks down acetylcholine, does it make sense that the acetylcholine is still around for a lot longer than it should be? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's always a tough thing to explain. So acetylcholine is released, acetylcholinesterase breaks that down.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have an acetylcholinesterase inhibitor like what's in potatoes or eggplant, so you're inhibiting the breakdown of the acetylcholine. So if you still have the acetylcholine there, the muscle is still going to be contracting.
Mm-hmm.
So muscles constantly contracting at a low grade, at a low level, that's stiffness.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is these things tend to accumulate in the muscles when we sit still. So this is the common feature of arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
When people wake up in the morning, they're really stiff. It takes them a long time to just moving and getting things, you know, waking up and getting moving. That helps them feel better. And then during the day, if they sit still for a while, what happens is those compounds collect again in their muscles. And then when they get up, they're stiff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the solanine and the chaconine. And it's well known that these are problems. I mean, there have been poisonings at schools where they've actually stored the potatoes in such a way that they've made tons of the solanine and the chaconine.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had mass little poisonings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 45 kids sick from this stuff. There have been deaths from it. The World Health Organization actually puts a limit on the amount of solanine that can be in any breed of potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's actually that dangerous. Mm-hmm. There's a food out there. The potatoes out in the store, I mean, the World Health Organization has to monitor how much solanine is in particular breeds of potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So between the solanine, between the, you know, the nicotine, the capsaicin, I do think capsaicin has its uses, I mean, in small bursts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be good for treating cancer,
mm-hmm.
but not on a daily basis. You know, it'd be like painkillers. Painkillers mm-hmm. are really helpful when they're necessary.
Right.
You know, if somebody needs a painkiller to make it through a really tough time, they might need a painkiller.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean they should be taking painkillers every day. That's not good for anybody.
Right.
So, you know, using these things properly is a big thing, and I do think capsaicin may have some usage. But then there's the whole calcium deposit problem mm-hmm. of all the nightshades.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm worried about the calcinosis. Is that reversible once you stop taking
yes.
the nightshades?
Yes.
Are any of these other processes reversible?
Oh, yeah. The most of the other processes are very temporary. The solanine mm-hmm. and the capsaicin and the nicotine, pretty mm-hmm. much, I mean, well, if somebody's inhibited their wound healing in, like, their rotator cuff with nicotine,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that will ever catch up,
mm-hmm.
you know. But the body, like I said, the body's always healing itself.
Mm-hmm.
My key approach in helping people, helping mm-hmm. their bodies to heal themselves is reducing the rate of degeneration
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
increasing the rate of regeneration mm-hmm. or of healing.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that the nightshades tend to slow down or stop all that.
Mm-hmm.
And different people are more sensitive to this, because there will be plenty of people out there who say, oh, you know, I must not be one of the sensitive ones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they really don't know unless they truly avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not be one of the people who are really sensitive to them.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest disservice they could do to anybody else would be to tell somebody else that, oh, I tried it. It didn't work, so you don't need to try it.
Right, right.
You know, that would be, I mean, some people get a bee sting and they're in the hospital, you know, with
right.
their life at risk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I may not be that person, but that doesn't mean I should tell the person who has a problem with bee stings that they really don't have a problem. They don't need to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what I do see, things I see in common is people who have smoked tend to be really sensitive to nightshades eventually.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the smoking depleted whatever nutrients they needed to process these things,
mm-hmm.
and then they tend to be real sensitive later.
Oh,
there's one more mechanism,
mm-hmm.
and this is specifically in tomatoes. Almost every one of the nightshades has their own specific flavor of problem.
Mm-hmm.
So in tomatoes, there's something called tomato lectin. Now, if you know anything about gluten, you know that gluten is a lectin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a specific type of protein that can cause very specific effects in the human body. What gluten does is gluten is known for damaging the lining of the gut and causing the autoimmune condition called celiac disease,
mm-hmm.
where the body's actually attacking the gut. Tomato lectin also tends to cause the same problem that gluten does, which is leaky gut syndrome.
Oh.
It's not celiac. It's a mm-hmm. totally different thing. But, I mean, it's a different flavor of a similar thing. So tomato lectin tends to cause leaky gut, which means that large proteins from food
mm-hmm.
can penetrate into the bloodstream, and then the body tends to have allergic reactions to it, which if left alone over time can tend to lead to autoimmune diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So what tomatoes do is they create this leaky gut situation. And then tomatoes also have what's called tomatine in them, which is another glycoalkaloid. It falls in the same category as chaconine and solanine, which we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all glycoalkaloids. Tomatine causes a gigantic immune reaction in the body, like an overblown immune reaction, because what the tomatine does is the tomatine directly damages cells, especially epithelial cells, the kind of cells that line our skin or line our gastrointestinal, our gut lining.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so much so, tomatine does so much damage and causes such an immune response that this is, vaccine manufacturers
mm-hmm.
are using tomatine as an adjuvant to vaccines, which means an adjuvant means that it stimulates the immune system to get a better reaction to the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So, between the tomatine massively stimulating the immune system, basically because it damages these cells, and then the tomato lectin causing a leaky gut situation, that's how we get these autoimmune conditions. Like, this is where rheumatoid arthritis comes into the picture. Now, I'm not saying nightshades are the only cause of osteoarthritis or rheumatoid or autoimmune conditions. What I'm saying is they're a huge portion. And autoimmune conditions are, as far as I know, they are not going down in frequency or severity. They seem to only be going up. And if you go, if anyone chooses to go to a restaurant and look at the menu, try to find a dish on the menu that does not have nightshades on it. It is next to impossible. I mean, just to rent a general restaurant. I mean, I tell people, say, well, what can I go to eat if I want to, if I'm going to Mexican food with my friends? We have a lot of Mexican food places down here. I have to tell them, I say, I get what I get, which is basically get fajitas without the peppers. So it's basically meat and onions.
Well, the traditional American diet was meat and potatoes. And
meat
so
and
there you've got the potatoes.
Yeah. I mean, one of my earliest examples of a success with the nightshades was I had a patient come in who had basically been told she had carpal tunnel in both hands, which is always interesting. Whenever I see something on both sides, I tend to think it's probably something more systemic than a problem of, like, her carpal tunnel, you know, being too small. So I told her, I said, you know, well, we'll do laser therapy on it. That's I do a lot of cold laser therapy or low-intensity laser therapy here in my practice. I said, we'll do laser, but this could be a nightshade thing. And if it is, the only thing that will fix it is avoiding the nightshades. So she had nothing to lose, so she listened to me. We were doing the laser, and she started avoiding the nightshades. 2 weeks later, she said she was about 90% better.
Great.
I wasn't even considering, you know, the whole surgery and all that. She said that weekend, she told me later, she went to her grandma's house that weekend. And, you know, nobody wants to turn down their grandparents' food that they're feeding kindly. And she also thought at the same time it would be a great time to test my nightshade hypothesis, because her grandma served her salmon and slices of tomato and a baked potato. I mean, perfect trial dinner. She ate it. She said she woke up the next morning and it was like we hadn't done a thing. She was back to exactly square one where she was before. So she came back in my office, and I said, you know, I'm happy to treat it with laser, and it will help you feel better sooner, but you've just found the free fix for your problem. The free fix is to avoid these foods. I mean, I don't make any money off telling people to avoid these foods. You know, it's the whole thing about, like, exercise. You know, people who exercise, they feel better, they're healthier, all that stuff, but not a whole lot of people make a whole lot of money on that. Or eating right. So the nightshades thing, I mean, and the nightshades thing doesn't exactly make me popular with a whole lot of people. Because
I'm sure it doesn't.
These are a lot of people's favorite foods. However, you know, since I want to do my service to the world, you know, this is what I found as being a big issue. So.
Well, you answered one of my questions, and that was, do these affect everyone? And you said, no, they don't.
Well, wait, let me correct that. So, I do think they're affecting everyone.
Oh, do you?
I just think that some people are more
sensitive.
More or less sensitive. It would be like, you know, do I think that toxic cleaners are okay for some people and not okay for others? No, I think they're toxic to everybody. But certain people's systems process them better or process them faster than others, so they don't react. You know, it's just a matter of sensitivity and resilience to them. But no, I think they're doing the same negative things in everybody. It's just they affect different people in different amounts.
Well, then the next question would be, how would someone find out if they're sensitive?
Yes. It's a simple and yet not easy thing. What it involves is I tell people to strictly avoid all sources of the nightshades for a month. Not a week. Some people, the rare person may feel results in less than a week. However, I don't tell them to expect that, because sometimes people need to avoid them for long enough for these little damaging things like the solanine and the nicotine and all that stuff to really clear out of their system. And often so they can get to the point where they feel better enough
mm-hmm.
that then after that month, if they believe me at the end of the month, great. Mm-hmm. Then we don't have to do this next part. If they don't believe me that they're feeling better, then I have them do what's called a nightshade party.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of that month, a very strict avoidance. And if people haven't been avoiding them, this may not work.
Mm-hmm.
That nightshade party day, I basically make sure they eat multiple different types of nightshades multiple times a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
breakfast might be eggs with salsa on them and hash browns.
Mm-hmm.
Lunch might be, you know, a sandwich with tomatoes on it and French fries.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner might be eggplant parmigiana. They mm-hmm. really try to throw down as much of these nightshades in whatever form they choose in a day's time.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them if they're not already cursing me by the time they get to lunch,
mm-hmm.
they definitely will be by the next day or within 2 days. And that's mm-hmm. an important thing. Nightshade reactions can take anywhere. Certain people, they'll feel them that day.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, it can take up to 2 to 3 days. So they'll have to, if people have, you know, some, if all of a sudden somebody avoids the nightshades and they feel bad, they feel their old pain come back, I tell them you have to look over your diet for the last 2 or 3 days
mm-hmm.
because something may have snuck in there. And 9 times out of 10, people can ferret that out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so it's avoidance for a month. If they don't notice that they're feeling better, then they do the nightshade party, a day of tons of nightshades,
mm-hmm.
and then they watch their reactions for up to 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting. So is there anything else you'd like to say about nightshades or arthritis before we look at your services? And
where I first started researching this mm-hmm. was a website called noarthritis.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the website of Dr. Childers. Dr. Childers was a horticulturist who kind of was the first guy to start putting together the nightshade problem in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the only person who's ever done any formal or informal studies on the nightshades and people's pain levels.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd really like to give him the credit that he's due. I think he's in his late 90s now.
Oh.
And he was doing quite well, actually. I remember him emailing me at the age of 93.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I don't know too many 93-year-olds who can email.
No. Uh-huh.
So to me, it always sounded like, you know, that the nightshade avoidance had always been doing him pretty well, because this inflammation that they cause can affect all parts mm-hmm. of our body, especially our brain.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just that website. They have a newsletter they used to put out, but now that Dr. Childers has, I think he's had a stroke now,
oh.
so they may not be putting out as much material anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But they're great. And then if anybody wanted to see the whole presentation where I go deeper into the mechanisms mm-hmm. of this, I'm actually going to be presenting on the nightshades at the Weston Price National Annual Convention. It's in Chicago, but it's in Schaumburg,
mm-hmm.
Illinois, mm-hmm. in the middle of November. So that'll be mm-hmm. a place where I'll be presenting more on this subject.
Mm-hmm. Now, Garrett, would you like to tell us about your services and how the listeners can reach you?
Sure, yeah. My website, all spelled out, is www.drdoctoraztheacher.com. I don't have much on the nightshades up on that website yet,
mm-hmm.
And that's my naturopathic website. That's where I'm doing my nutrition counseling for chronic disease, whether it's gastrointestinal. I do a lot of work with adrenal fatigue. I do a lot of work with thyroid stuff there. And then I also have my cold laser therapy practice. And that website is lasertherapeutics.com. And that's my, you know, my day-to-day practice is the naturopathic and the laser therapy. I'm working on getting a nightshade product out where I'll go over the mechanisms and things of that nature. But I haven't had the time to pull away from my mm-hmm. relatively new practice. I mean, we're years old now, but we're still, you know, with the economy and all that, we're still working on it. And then I also have a year-old baby, so that
oh. mm-hmm.
that has gotten in the way of writing and things of that nature.
But it's been fun, hasn't it?
It has been fun, yes. You know, and especially G's trying to watch out for that stuff for her.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, I'm working on a nightshade product. I'm hoping to have something available by the time the Weston Price Convention comes around.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And then, if people wanted to read my original articles on the nightshades, where I've compiled all my references and all of that. They're at part of an e-magazine, an electronic magazine at www.performancemenu.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the issues that my Nightshade articles are in, you can search for them under my name, Garrett Smith. But I believe it's 33, 35, 36, 37, and 40. Those are the issue numbers that my articles are in.
Great.
So, and then Dr. Lauren Cordain of www.thepaleodiet.com, he's the person who came out with the tomato mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely want to give, we talked on the phone a long time one day about the tomato lectin and the tomatine and all that, and that is completely his mechanism. He is an expert in lectins.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a whole autoimmune diet plan there, mm-hmm. and avoiding tomatoes is a huge part of their autoimmune diet plan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about it.
Well, I thank you very much, Garrett. This has been very interesting and very different than what anyone else has talked about.
I tend to do things like that.
Thank you.
You are very welcome.
My second guest is Karen White Gibson, a registered nurse and certified care manager, chief executive officer of the American Nurse Healthcare Company, producer and host of Outspoken with Karen television show on AmericanProduction.com, co-author of Nurses on Our Own, that is available at Amazon.com, an emergency room nurse, psychiatric care nurse, innovator of independent nursing practice, executive of home care, and movie set consultant for Dr. Detroit, Risky Behavior, and various commercials. Karen is an arthritis sufferer and will talk about the natural treatments she uses. More information is available at www.AmericanProductions.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Karen, and I look forward to hearing more about natural solutions to arthritis problems. And it's always great for me to talk with a nursing colleague. First, do you have a theory about the cause of arthritis?
I do. I think it's an inflammatory process that could be caused by many sensitivities that we have. I myself have been tested through a hair analysis and mm-hmm. through blood tests and found out that I was quite sensitive to other things such as foods, the mm-hmm. ones that I craved, some mm-hmm. that I liked, some that I disliked but was forced to drink like milk,
mm-hmm.
that seemed to cause inflammations in my joints at times.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, due to traumatic injuries, too, it can be caused.
Mm-hmm. And what natural substances have you found useful in relieving joint pain?
Well, cayenne pepper is one of them. And I was very concerned about having somebody else use cayenne pepper who really had a lot of problems with arthritis because I was afraid it might cause an ulcer.
Mm-hmm.
But then I found out that during earlier wars, they used to use cayenne pepper actually to cure ulcers.
They did.
So, yeah, so it really doesn't bother a person.
Oh.
And it doesn't bother their stomach.
Mm-hmm.
I recently have taken something that was sent to me as a sample for my television show called Flexicon. And for 3 weeks, I've taken the pills, and it's all natural substances in it, vitamins and minerals and that, and it has helped me tremendously with some swelling in my legs that was due to previous injuries in my knees.
Oh. And it's all natural then?
Yes.
Oh. Are there any other things that you found useful?
Well, of course, on occasion, aspirin. But in as much as I'm hearing about how great aspirin is now, maybe it would be a good idea to take it all the time, but I didn't want to do that whenever I had any flare-ups of anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have any severe case of arthritis or anything, but I know people who do, and it seems to help them quite a bit.
Now, you mentioned hair analysis. Is that one of the tests that show toxins in the system?
It is. It shows vitamin deficits and excesses in the body. I had that done actually when I was going through menopause, and I was intaking a lot of soy because I do television shows called Outspoken with Karen in the Chicago area and on the Internet. And I am the guinea pig, and I'm tested for many things. So when I was getting a little irritable, I had the hair analysis done and found that I had some excesses that were causing that, and that there were vitamins that could be taken easily to eliminate the excesses and to add to the ones that were in deficit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people are fearful of having hair analysis because they think that they're looking for drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I had no fear about that, but this is not even a test where they look for drugs. I mean, as a matter of fact, I even put the form on my website so that people could do this through the mail at AmericanTVProductions.com, which links people to our American Nurse website. And the reason I don't necessarily say the American Nurse website is because it's spelled with one N. Now, it's not American Nurse. It's AmericaNurse, one word, .com. And sometimes people misspell it and go to the wrong website. So.
Mm-hmm. And, Karen, are there other treatments that you have found that relieve your own joint pain?
There's a thing called Z-flammation that I picked up at Whole Foods that when I did have some swelling in one knee, and, of course, I ride a bike every day during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
That has helped it tremendously. And when I had an injury to my knee, the other thing that helped tremendously was to go on the treadmill, which is something they told me to go lay down and go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that it flared up, and that's not what I did, and it got much better. But there's also a naturopathic physician who's a reflexologist and an iridologist here in Illinois, Dr. Tony Kupas, and he did an excellent job just doing some reflexology on my knee. And he had a machine that kind of makes you lay down flat, and it's kind of like makes you like a fish back and forth on your spine. And all of the things that he did with that and with a boot that he invented that he puts on to put some pressure, and also with the ionic foot bath, which takes the toxins out of your system, I would go in there in discomfort and come out fine.
Oh, and that's worked for you?
Yes.
Has it?
Because
one of the people in my Search for God group has this, and she comes periodically, and she uses it with all of us. And it, all I noticed was that it turned everything a funny color.
It does, depending on, and it's funny because I was doing them every week for a while, and it turns it different colors based on what it's taking out of your system. It's kind of like, you know, peeling an orange.
Oh, it does.
It keeps taking different things out of your system. And he had another patient there who happened to be a man with cancer. And this man was told there was nothing more that could be done for him. And he was coming there and having these, and it was doing great, although he was still eating bad fast food, which was not a good thing for his colon cancer.
Right, right.
Well, he decided that these foot baths weren't helping him, which they were. He was playing golf. He was doing fine. And a few weeks later, he was dead after he stopped.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But I know that a colleague of mine that works on the TV show, she went, she was having problems even with her thyroid and that, and it helped her tremendously. My husband, it helped tremendously because he was having some joint discomfort. And every time we would go, I mean, if you walked in there and you didn't even feel like walking, you walked out, you were fine.
Well, I only had it the one time, and I've never had it since, but I
Well, I think it has a cumulative effect if you do it consistently.
Because I didn't see much difference from the one time I had it. Well, that's interesting. Is there anything else, then, that you'd like to say, Karen, before we talk about your book and your TV
Well, the
program?
One other treatment that I can think of that I have besides regular massage is endermology, which, of course, helps clear out the lymph glands in the way they do the treatments. And it's similar to a massage. And doing, you know, other type things with being wrapped in something and everything. And then, of course, you have to drink a lot of water because the lymph glands are then cleared out. And I think all of these things to get toxins out of your body are good. Swimming has been terrific for me, too.
And who do you go to for that?
There's an endermologist in Orland Park, Illinois, which people can contact me if they would like to email me, and I can give them her name.
Oh.
It's they can email me at asktvnurse@yahoo.com. That's asktvnurse@yahoo.com.
Now, have you ever tried SEAC tea or any of those other products that you take and for detox?
No.
I take the SEAC tea a couple times a year, and it seems to be quite effective. And one thing I notice is that when I take it, I tend to lose a little bit of weight.
What is that called?
Essiac tea. It's named for Renee Case, who was a public health nurse in Canada, who used it with cancer patients and had a lot of success. And it's now marketed under Flora Essence, I believe. But
Flora Essence?
Yeah, it's actually Essiac tea, and you can buy it at most health food stores. And I take it twice a year for a month.
Well, this Flexicon that I'm talking about, they have a dose that you take a heavier dose of it for a while. You take from 4 to 6 pills, and then you go on a maintenance dose. And it really has, you know, helped any discomfort that I had from the previous injury.
Now, would you then tell us about your television show and your book and how listeners can reach you?
I'd be happy to. First of all, if people are outside of the city of Chicago, they can go to Ustream, that's the letter U, S-T-R-E-A-M, .tv, and if they go to the bottom of the page and click on All Broadcasts and then enter in the information, the name of the show is Outspoken with Karen, and Karen is K-A-R-O-N, because my father's name was Ronald, so there's an R-O-N on the end of Karen. So if they put in Outspoken with Karen, they're able to look at many of the shows that we've done on autism, pacemakers, interventional radiology, nurse heroes, as a matter of fact, with a lady, Irene Stemmer, who just wrote a book on the different shoes that nurses wear. Paula Woodley, who's a nurse who has worked for the government, who did a yoga and Pilates CD. And also, of course, my book, which is called Nurses on Our Own. And you can get information on all of these at AmericanTVProductions.com. And or you can go to Ustream. If people do come or live in the Chicagoland area, they can watch our show on Comcast Cable in the southwest suburbs on Thursday nights at 7:30, the western suburbs on Wednesday nights at 7:30, both on Channel 19, or the entire city of Chicago on Channel 25 on Thursday nights at 10 p.m. and Friday nights at 9:30 p.m. The mission of the show is health and safety, though we've expanded to beauty, innovative products, travel, dining for healthy food, legal experts, so there's a real diverse amount of topics, but the mission is to educate people on things they haven't heard anywhere else. And more in-depth than anywhere else, because TV has, you know, these short bites that you don't find out too much, and we try to go into depth about many different topics. And not only on traditional medicine, but on alternative and optional medicine as well.
Well, good. I appreciate this very much, Karen, and I look forward to talking with you again.
And I think if people want to read about a nursing career and they read my book, Nurses on Our Own, which I did with Joy Catterson and Patricia Skalka, it's the story of our adventures in the psychiatric unit and movie sets. I've been a nurse and a first aid consultant on many movie sets like Dr. Detroit and Risky Business, and many of our adventures in creating the first independent nursing practice freestanding clinic in the United States. The obstacles that occurred, how we got terminated from our jobs at a hospital because of it, and how we fought them in federal court and were successful in obtaining a settlement. We also did a first aid station at McCormick Place here and at Old Chicago, which is the world's only indoor amusement park. And we had many, many different experiences in home care, taking care of people from lottery winners to the poor and indigent. So, and our husbands are both Chicago police officers, detectives. So there's some stories about Joy and I being nurses, also being private detectives. So it's a pretty interesting book, Nurses on Our Own.
Good. Well, I thank you very much, Karen.
Thank you. And could I tell people again how to contact me if they want to email me at asktvnurse@yahoo.com? Or they can call our phone line for viewers. It's 815-773-4497.
Good. Well, thank you.
And I thank you for the opportunity.
Thank
you.
I thank you for joining me on the Holistic Health Show today.
I would also like to invite you to view my website at www.holistichealthshow.com. There you will find streaming buttons for all previous shows. You will also find some ebooks on a holistic approach to stress reduction and to cancer interventions, including those interventions I used when I had lung cancer 33 years ago and was given 6 months to live. Continuing to use these interventions, I am now age 77 and have no chronic illnesses and no prescribed medications, so I know the holistic approach worked for me, and I hope it will also work for you to keep you healthy so that you can enjoy your older years free of pain, discomfort, and the expense of medications. The interventions I used and continue to use are also described in detail in my last book, published in 2007, and is also available for purchase on my website. It is Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. In the book, I present the how-to of physical, mental, and spiritual activities that I select from and do each day, such as meditation, visualization, prayer, affirmations, strengthening faith, patience, and forgiveness, serving others, losing weight, quitting smoking, using herbs, and many others. I also discuss how to prioritize these interventions in your life. In addition, I discuss ways to establish and maintain healthy relationships, ways to make your environment more conducive to healthful living, and ways to participate in the political process, because all of these processes affect your health. I also have a free newsletter sent out monthly on healthy holistic aging, and you can obtain this by signing up on my website. I wish you a great week and look forward to having you with me again in 2 weeks. Good day.